first scripture I'm going to read, I guess really doesn't have anything to do with what the message is about. So you're probably wondering why I'm even going to use that. But there is a point to it, so I'm going to read this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." Isn't that an interesting little thing to grab a hold of? You know, we come to the Lord, we come humbly, repentant, we recognize our need for a Savior. We see that, hey, we really don't have what it takes to really enter into heaven and be with the Holy God on our own, by our own merits. And here God's provided this wonderful way to come. Not because we go to church every Sunday, not because we try to do everything good and therefore earn our way in, but it's because we recognize that God so loved us that he gave his Son to die in our place. Amen, isn't it? What a beautiful, beautiful gospel. It's a beautiful, it's the heart of God, isn't it? And all of us have accepted that very thing, that unlike a lot of the way people look at things, that we should be earning our way. We can't earn our way when it comes to this. And we recognize that, and that's why we rely on the work of Christ, the work of the cross, the blood of Jesus, to allow us to get into heaven. Because he's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, then as we go along, we start to know things. We get to read the Word, and we come up with understanding what God's doing. But you know, in knowledge, we don't really know as we ought to know. You know what's really important right here? It's our heart. It's our love for God. Verse 3 says, "But if any man loves God, then the same is known of him." You know, God recognizes those who have a really heart for him. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, you better be responding here. Answer. You know how I am. There's no reason for me to have to beg you to respond. And I've told you before how many times, how important that is for you to be entered into the Word yourself, even though you're listening. And I hope that you have a response sometime during the message too. But this is really an important thing. So what I'm going to be talking about today is something that you've heard many times over the course of you being a Christian, and if it's not something that touches our hearts, if it doesn't reach in and grab a hold of us today in the way that God wants us to, then you're going to hear it and you're going to know it, and it's not going to go any deeper. So God, we ask that there be something deeper about what's going to happen today. Through your word. Amen. Can you agree with that? And if at least you're doing that in your heart, so I want to grab a hold of whatever you have for me. At least that's a start, you know. And then that's really up to us if we're going to take a hold of the word of life today or not. Now, today is the eve of the Feast of Trumpets. You guys know that. Tomorrow is the beginning of the Jewish seventh month, and it's the Feast of Trumpets. Do you know what that is about?
No.
Anybody know?
Well, isn't it a type of shadow of the rapture?
Lots of Christian teachers teach that, yes. That it would be because of the whole thing with trumpets, and the rapture is described in the Book of Thessalonians as there will be the sound of a heavenly trumpet, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we who are alive at the coming of the Lord, we will be gathered up together to Him. Our bodies are going to be changed. We won't experience death, whoever that last generation of believers are. We won't taste death. Our bodies will move directly, transform directly into that new resurrected body that's just like Jesus's. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Now that should be exciting, just all this stuff. That's not even the point of the message yet today. So, but this is happening, and so there's that aspect of the Feast of Trumpets that many Christians grab a hold of when you think about it. And I want to say that God instituted this feast. This isn't something that man came up with. This isn't our idea of remembering something that God has talked about. This was what God said to when these feast days come upon us, that we're supposed to remember, we're supposed to engage ourselves with what God has for its meaning. So this isn't man-made. This is something God wants us to think about on a day like today.
Yeah, but they still sound the trumpets, right, in Israel? Is that what it is? They sound the trumpets,
yes.
And that's when you're supposed to remember.
Yes.
You're supposed to be concentrating on God during, 10 days or something like that?
It's the beginning of what's known as the 10 days of awe, the 10 days of awesomeness. And that awesomeness is dealing with... I guess I'll say it now because I was going to try to hold off as much as I could. Repentance. Okay? We're having, the group of churches, we're having our 10 days of prayer. It corresponds to the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of where Israel was supposed to be repenting, looking inwardly, repenting of individual sin, and also to repent for national sin. You get that?
Yes.
And I believe that God wants to say this to us, that we are to, in these next 10 days, to really take some more time where we really look at ourselves and really humble ourselves before God, not only for our individual sins, but for our national sins, for the sins of our nation. Amen?
Yes.
Do you think that this nation needs that?
Yes.
Because we can already see what's happening because of the way the nation as a whole has turned away from God, said those are old, outdated rules and regulations. We're adopting a more tolerant view of the world, right?
Yes.
And the way people can live. And so this is part of the result of that. And so new leadership in government without a repentant nation isn't going to really do much of anything. It might have some little effects. You know, hopefully you're all voting in November, and you have in your minds and hearts, because you've prayed to God, who you believe God would have for us. You know, people say, well, God's going to have who He wants to have. That's true to the extent that you engage with God. Yeah? You know that? So God wants us to be good citizens of His kingdom. And in order to do that, because we're in this life, we're to be good citizens of where God has placed us. Thank God we're in the United States and not somewhere else.
Right.
Yes.
with all of our problems, we're still the best country in the world. With all of our faults. And,
Yeah.
No, maybe you're not.
Well, I'm convinced anyway, so anyway.
So this is a time of looking inwardly. It's days of awe. It's supposed to prepare us for that day of atonement that the for the Jews. And we already have that. Done. Yeah. Jesus already is our atonement.
Right.
And so this whole thing that Reggie was talking about with power, one of the first things I wrote down, the Lord told me, write down things every time in all the songs. I want you to write down something that you hear that pops out at you during each of the songs. So I did that. And power is the word that came up the most. And I thought, oh man, because this really goes with what the message is, because, you know, I think we want to move in the power of God. We know that He's there within us, so we have the potentiality to move in a great amount of power. And I think that if that is ever really going to happen on a broader scale, on a deeper scale in our life, we have to be humble, repentant people. It's not going anywhere unless we're there first. If we're not on our knees, we're not going to be moving in the power that we need. How many of you want to move in power? Do you want to move, or do you want to be a weakling? You know? I would hope that everybody in here wants to move in the strength of who Jesus is. Well, we can't do that if we're not humble. We can't do that if we're not saying, really looking at our hearts and saying, well, God, I've got to change. Yeah. I've got to change. You know what happens a lot of times? We come to Christ and we were changed. We're born again. And then He shows us little things, sometimes big things. And as we go along, we move along in Christ. Sometimes we disregard little things that Jesus wants to put His finger on in your life. You know? And maybe for you and me, or maybe for you, maybe it's just a couple little things that God wants, and we can kind of poo-poo them. Oh, I don't want to deal with that yet. You know? And God wants us to have a heart today, not a mind so much. I just kept feeling this. A heart today where we cry out to God to say, God, give me that fervent burden for repentance. Because without that, the depth of the light that God has put in us, the depth of the power that God has in us because of Jesus that now resides in our hearts and minds, can't come forth the way, because we cloud it with the way we act and think and the habit patterns that we have. Jesus can't get through there. That's just the way it is. He doesn't barge through. He wants us to give in to Him. Isn't that right? So this is important for us as individuals and as a nation, that today we cry out for national sins, that we cry out for those areas. Is there anybody here who is not aware of something you need to work on in your life? No?
No.
Oh, I'm really kind of surprised. No, I'm not surprised. Isn't this good, though? That God wants us to really look at ourselves today. And for the next 10 days, do you think that we have the sustainability to do that for 10 days? You know? Tonight, first night of the 10 days of prayer, okay? It's going to be at Lamb's Trap. As many of us, I think, that can, let's get there. Let's put some things aside and let's get there and cry out for ourselves as an individual, for the things that are in our families, for the things that are in the community, for this nation, for this world, for the lost. There's so much that we can take on and say, God, I fall on my knees before you in this regard. And I think this is going to be important. If you and I want to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, this has to be the heart and beginning, right at the core of what we're going to do for the next 10 days, is going to be crying out to God for an attitude of repentance. And this is all, I don't think we usually think of power as down on our knees. You know, usually you think, oh, this is the guy that's going to, he's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen to him, you know. Yeah. Down on your knees, hands behind your head, you know, that's the end of you. And yet, it's here that where power really begins.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And for that to just be head knowledge doesn't really do us any good. You can hear this and walk out of here, and if you don't say to God, whatever it is that you said through Malcolm today, I want to be able to hear it as it's you, God of the universe, of my life, that is saying this to me, and I want to be obedient to that. I want to engage myself where you want me to be engaged today, in my mind and in my heart, to look at myself, turn myself over to you, and allow myself to be more conformed to the image of Jesus.
Yes.
Because what this world needs is a whole bunch of Jesuses,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we call Christians, right? What's the word Christian mean? Little Christs. That's what it means. To be Christians, then, is to be like Jesus. If we're going to be, we have to be disciplined. We have to be people that are disciples. Amen? For the light of Christ to come forth. And that was what last week's message about the narrow road. You know? That narrow road is about discipleship more than anything else. More than anything else, it's about discipleship. Few people, even after they come to Christ, really make it a point to be disciplined in prayer and disciplined in the way they come before God and humble themselves before God and want to be changed. That there's not a lot of Christians that do that. But Christians that are really disciples, that's what they're doing. And we have to be awakened to that. Yes?
Yes.
All right. I got way out ahead of myself. So, there were just a few scriptures here. What helps us here to have an attitude of repentance? Well, I'm not going to go to this one first. I'm really trying to hear how the Lord wants me to put this together. Here's one thing.
Fear. Fear. This is Revelation chapter 3. It says this, I'll start in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Now this is church. These are church people. Because unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things. He that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, and that you have a name, that you live. But you are dead. Jesus said this to a church. Jesus said this to a congregation of believers. Be watchful. See, isn't that part of what it means to repent? That you're watchful, you're cognizant of the fact that you keep missing the mark in a particular area? You're watchful to be careful about these kinds of things. And that's really important, isn't it? If we're going to be repentant, then we need to be sensitive when we're starting to stray off. Amen? Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and what? Repent. And what's that word repent mean?
Turn away.
Go in the opposite direction. Turn around and go in a different direction.
So that's one thing. And I love this other one, and I've mentioned this many times before. Romans 2 verse 4 says, do you despise the riches of goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The goodness of God can lead us to repentance. Start thinking about the good things that God has done. And you develop an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, if all we look at is how God didn't fulfill something that needed to be fulfilled in your life, if it's always about that, and if we don't look at the goodness of what God has done, what He's kept us from, what He's done in our lives, you know, this should lead us to a place where we go, you know what, I don't want to keep acting like this. I want to please you more, God. Can we have that?
I don't know what we can do. What we can do, and it doesn't have to be this outward display. But I pray to God that inside myself and inside you, that there's something inside of you that's saying right now, God, I've got to have this. I've got to have this, God. I want to have a heart for repentance. I want to have a heart that wants to change to please you. Because you are good.
Yes.
You know, for some reason, I grew up Catholic. And there was an act of contrition that you're supposed to say before.
Yes.
You know, I still know that. And I haven't gone to the Catholic Church in 30 years. But 40. Maybe it's 50 years. Oh my gosh. Oh my. And now listen to this, because it is beautiful. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. And I detest all my sin. Now I'm going to forget it. I thought of it this morning. I detest all my sin because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because I've offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to confess my sins, to do penance, that means to repent, and to amend my life. Amen. Wow. What a great, great prayer. Especially if it's coming from here. You know? That's a great attitude to have, isn't it?
Yes.
And I believe that these 10 days of prayer, these 10 days of repentance, as the Jews look at it, prayer and repentance, that these days that our churches are actually going to celebrate, right? That this could be the beginning of some kind of very powerful thing. inside you as an individual believer, and as us as individual churches, and for maybe the country that we end up praying for, which I hope is this one. Right? I'm not going to probably pray for Brazil, I don't think. But maybe I will. Maybe God will lead me to do that. So I better watch what I say, right? But I pray today that we get the heart of what God is saying, and that we cry out. Oh my, you know, I thought about that old prayer from years and years and years and years ago. I thought, how wonder, what a great attitude, what great fervor is in that prayer if you mean it. Right? And if we mean this, I find that sometimes I just feel kind of passive or sleepy about things. Well, God will do what he's going to do. Does that ever cross your mind? God will do it. God's in charge. All of these are true statements, aren't they? You know, God will do what he's going to do. God's in charge. And you and I have to watch that we don't become passive little mushrooms on the side of the log. You understand? Oh, God will just do what he wants to do. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to do. And yet God wants us to be conformed to his image. And that requires repentance, which requires a choice on our part, which requires us crying out for some kind of heart change. Because our flesh, that fleshy heart that we have, is at enmity with God. It means it fights against God. And even when we become Christians, there's still that thing that pushes against getting too close to God. And if you're brutally honest about you yourself, you know that that's true about you as a Christian. That there's still things where you want to dance around. And your mind rationalizes and dances around getting that much closer to God. You like it just where it is. And God wants to take you deeper. He wants to take me deeper into a relationship that is way beyond what we can even ask for. Somebody had a hand up. Chris.
I find that if I have written prayers, I never had a confession prayer like that. Growing up Catholic, that it helps. And if you look at the scripture now, you go, Lord, do I despise the riches of your kindness and not recognize your goodness and make it a prayer? And you can just sit there and you just, and he usually just pushes you now, or at least pushes me now, to recognize the prayer in the what I'm reading sometimes. Yeah. And just...
And what he does to me too is to shows me how shallow I am in my reaction to the Word of God that I'm reading sometimes, or in my prayer sometimes it's just perfunctory. You know what I mean by that?
Going through the motions.
It's just what you do. Instead of there being something more to it. Something more of me involved in that prayer. And what I mean by that is that I'm going to give my heart and soul to something. I sure know how to do that playing a game of soccer. I sure know how to do that when I'm rooting for the Patriots later today. They're playing today, right? What a great picture that is. You know, for us to be like that about the things of God. That's how we should be, don't you think? Yes.
But I think of it as expecting God to answer. You know, expecting to see Him moving. You know, not just like you said, being a passive little thing.
Right.
But looking with expectations for what God is going to do next.
Right.
It makes your life so much more exciting.
And that expectation doesn't necessarily mean that God has to do it the way we want him to.
Right.
But God is going to work the way he wants to work. And we have, you know, that's part of the faith thing. I'm going to read Romans chapter 13, verse 11. I'm going to start in and read a few of those verses, down through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It is time to wake up to what this life is all about, what is really important in this life. Yes?
Yes.
What we need to engage ourselves and invest ourselves in more, who we need to really trust. Yeah? It's high time to wake out of sleep for, I got it encircled, I can't even read the words.
For now? Where does it say that?
For now our salvation.
Oh, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
Yeah. We're getting closer to the time Jesus is going to come back and give us those resurrected bodies. I don't know about you, but I want a resurrected body. Because it seems like things are slowing down here.
I'd be willing to give up my job. Yes. He says you got to lose your job. I'd be willing to give up my job.
Give it up. We'll give it up. The night is far spent, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, see now here's the process here, when we talk about repentance. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To live in a world where people are living in the light of the Lord. Not in the darkness of their own emotions and thoughts, but one where, as a favorite song of mine is, where all is well and all is good and everyone belongs. Well, you know, there's going to be a day when that's going to happen. Don't you want that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't quite hear you.
Yeah.
This is going to happen, and it requires us to rally ourselves, wake ourselves up to what we're really here for, right?
Yes.
It says in verse 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's all in the process of repentance, isn't it? You know?
Hallelujah. I'm going to... I'm going to skip that one. You know, this is what I get for not writing anything down. I did all of that. I wrote all the things down that I wanted to. There was one other scripture I wanted to make sure I got to today. Maybe I wasn't supposed to get to that. You know, the one that I thought, you know what? I don't have to write this down because I'm going to remember this one. So, maybe I wasn't supposed to. Maybe God didn't want me to remember that one. But today, to sum it up, to have soft hearts of repentance for the next 10 days, because God instituted that. Let's see if we do that. We have a great avenue to do that in, because we have the 10 days of prayer for all the different churches. The day that we have it here in this facility is on Friday at 6:30, okay, this coming Friday.
There's a list of the churches, and if you didn't remember, or I don't think we had said, and I just found out this morning, where the River of Life Church is. It's up in West Stewartstown. West Stewartstown. River of Life. So that's a little bit away, and I think that's on Wednesday. So we have Bible study. We still have the Bible studies on Wednesday, which will be here in this here. But if anybody wants to go up and support that, that would be fantastic. And I think that as many of us as can to support this and to be looking inwardly for God to make the changes that need to be made in our lives so we can move forward, because we are in a time of great shaking. It's, you know, whatever can be shaken will be shaken. But we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. And because of that, we should thank God for that and receive the grace that He has. That grace comes when we fall on our knees and we allow Him to make those changes. We have the power that we need. Yes? And we might stumble and fall, but thank God He's there to pick us up every time. Every time. Isn't that great? Yes.
The scripture goes, you hold your right hand so you don't go head first down the hole.
Yeah. That's a good one. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you today. You are a God of power. You desire that your power come through us. And Lord, we want to be fit vessels for that. We want to be those that are humble, don't think more of ourselves than we should. Lord, that we recognize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do whatever you would ask us to do. God, I pray that we would move in your power, because we're a humble and repentant people. Bless these 10 days, Lord, where the churches are getting together. We ask for your presence to fill us up, to change us, to be conformed more to the image of Jesus. And we love you, Lord, for all that you do. Your goodness does lead us to repentance. You are so good, Heavenly Father.